Sexy in Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners listening to this well after the show is over. But however you've decided to spend the hour with us, we're really glad to have you. One of the questions we hear sometimes is, if I'm going to have a relationship, it needs to start with myself first. And listeners, I think you know that I encourage you, please, don't just date yourself, marry yourself, and continue evolving in terms of that. So start with taking care of yourself first and foremost. Because if you're not taking care of you, it's really hard to take care of someone else or allow them to take care of you and have a happy, healthy relationship. And that's my personal opinion. I am very excited because the last couple of weeks we've had some fantastic women on the show who have talked about a lot of resources that are available for women. And tonight I've got a man who is on the show who's going to be doing, they did a workshop in March, so you may have heard of them before. Maybe you didn't, maybe you did. If not, you're hearing about them tonight. They're doing another one in Vancouver in September. I believe the date is September the 15th. And he has been doing work with men for a very, very long time. And he's got a wonderful, wonderful collection of men who are coming together to offer some over 24 hours worth of work. It's pretty incredible. So I'm very excited to have the wonderful, the talented, and thanks to Mr. Gary Bizzo, I found out about Mr. Bob Monroe. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So could you tell me a little bit about what is men's work? In general, like in regards to a men's workshop, men's weekends, because we hear about it, and sometimes as a woman, we're always very curious as to what do guys do. So what is it, and how did you get involved?
What is it, and how did I get involved? Well, let's go back to how I got involved, first of all. I'll be 65 this year, so I've been around a few years. I had been legally married twice, a couple of children from my first marriage, and after my second marriage, I wound up with a wonderful young lady named Lucia. And about 2 years into that relationship, I started to recognize that things were pretty good, but it was a little bit of deja vu, and I thought, well, maybe I didn't know all the answers. Maybe I needed to learn some things about myself or about relationship or about how all this worked. So I started getting involved with some men's courses, some men's work, and really opened my eyes to a lot of the things that I'd been, how I had been that wasn't working. And that was back in 1989. And Lucia and I are still together. And that relationship, I would say, is better than anything I'd ever expected or hoped for.
Wow.
And it's been a lot of work, and it's been very worthwhile, and it's been a huge learning, about who I am as a man, about what's important to me, about what my terms are. And I would say some of it was discovering a lot of the things that I think a lot of men have been doing for thousands and thousands of years in relationships that have worked very well, because, you know, up until the last 50 years, divorce was almost unheard of. When I went to school, I think there was maybe one child in my class that came from a divorced family. And now, you know, it's well over 50%.
It is. It's actually one of those things where I've had friends who go on the online dating sites where they joke that sometimes it's not, and they're not completely joking, that it's almost like going shopping for another mate. Because there's so much availability out there, it's kind of heartbreaking. So it makes it difficult to commit to working on a relationship.
Yeah, so that tells me that there's a lot of things we've been doing, probably both as men and women. There's not much I can do with the women, but I can certainly make some difference with the men to find out what are some of the things we've been doing that haven't been working.
And you mentioned things changed in the last 50 years. What were some of the things that kind of pushed that? Because
Well, one of the things we talked about a little earlier was that I think almost from the beginning of time, men primarily have taken care of men and women have taken care of women. If you look at different societies and different cultures, And I can remember when I was a child, we would go to a community event, and the men would be together and the women would be together. And they, as a result, I think that a lot of the men got much of their needs met by the men in their lives.
Mm.
You know, men used to work together, they used to hunt together, and, you know, in ancient times they used to fight together. They did all of these things together. And they'd gather together, and they would deal with all of the issues in their lives that needed to be dealt with. And I, looking at history, I mean, women, I think, did a lot of the same thing. Women socialized and did things together, and it's not about it's not about the women being the little homemaker and not being out in business. I mean, I'm not trying to suggest that at all.
No, it's like women gathered together, so they actually managed, like, around the campfire while the mm-hmm. men were out hunting
mm-hmm.
and were together, where they sometimes were very silent, whereas the women were together, they'd be gathering, they'd be watching the kids, they would be collecting, making sure everything was mm-hmm. okay at the home front, they'd be managing. Yeah. So both were taking care of different things.
Exactly. So
it balanced out the home.
Well, with men need good, strong, masculine men in their lives to deal with the things that came up, whether it was in business or whether it was in relationship or whatever. The fact of the matter is we're very, very different creatures. Lately, they've been trying to tell us, well, we're equal, we're the same, we're anything but. I actually believe that in many, many ways, women are far superior to men than women are. That's not necessarily a popular theory when I start talking to men, but I mean, there's so many ways that that they are intellectually. I mean, their communication skills. There's all kinds of things that they have us beat. We're stronger, most of us. We're good at moving heavy objects. We're good at protecting women. We're good at competition is very important to us. We're good if we're in our what I call in our power. We're good at being good providers. We're good at your business and a lot of things like that. Not to say that women aren't, but those are the areas that we excel. So we think differently. We have different feelings. We have different desires. We have different things in our lives that are important to us.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very different. So if that's true, and if I have something that I need some help with, would I not be better to go to a man who thinks, acts, feels, and has the same things important to him to get some results, or go to a woman who, God love her, she would do whatever she could to help me.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not been a man. She doesn't know really how I feel. They try. We try to figure out how the women feel, but a lot of it's futile. And we've been spending a lot of time in the last 30, 40 years trying to understand, trying to relate to, trying to, in some cases, even try and be like the opposite sex. And look where it's got us.
Well,
look at the result.
It's not working very well. As you said, divorce is pretty high. We've got one of my frequent guests on the show, Kim Anami, who is a sex coach, where she encourages men, just grab your woman and just make her feel like a woman, where mm-hmm. just take control. Because sometimes that's a beautiful thing. I've have so many friends just who are in their 30s, their 40s, their 20s, who sometimes will go out with a man. They have no idea if it's even a date, because it's not until the man actually tries to kiss them, they're like, oh, okay, this was actually a date. And it's hopefully, I'd love for that to change, where everybody knows what their role is, even though there's sometimes you need to explore that within two people, but just where there's... I like when men are men.
Well, there's another thing.
I like when women are women, too.
Exactly.
When people are in their own power.
Hollywood and the media has got us so confused and so messed up. You know, we talk about reality TV. Well, give me a break. None of that's reality. But when you get young people that are raised, influenced by that on a daily basis, how do they know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have a clue.
Yeah.
And they get constantly bombarded with that. We look at the TV shows that we have. We look at the cartoons that children see. Men are portrayed in most of that as buffoons, as idiots. You know, and Homer Simpson? Hello.
Peter from Family Guy.
Is that who we are?
No.
Well, we've got a generation of young people that are growing up thinking that that's reality. And in a lot of cases, trying to portray that doesn't work. So you take children that are raised out of influence and then bring them together and try and have a relationship that's going to work. It's doomed. It's doomed for failure. So we need to start... it's not about turning the clock back. It's about looking at the things that have worked in relationship between men and women for many, many, many years. And there's some of the stuff that didn't work, so we got to recognize that as well. But there's a lot of things that worked.
Yeah. So basically, not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but just adding and enhancing and seeing if you can create more.
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you a little story that I've told a lot of people. My mom and dad, God rest them, they've been gone for quite a few years, but they were together their whole life. They raised three boys. And they were the salt of the earth. My father was a homesteader in Saskatchewan. My mother had been a nurse in Winnipeg, and they got together. They had three children. And I can remember my mother, I got a purpose for this story, but I can remember my mother saying, actually, when I was a young fellow, saying to people, "My Kenny never, ever told me he loved me." And then she'd get this little smirk on her face, and she'd say, "But he showed me every day." And when I look back, I'll bet he never did. Now, it's not to say you shouldn't tell your woman you love her. Women pay more attention to who we are, how we are, and what we do, rather than what we say. The words don't mean very much. And I would be willing to bet that my dad probably never, ever told my mother that he loved her, but she knew it every single moment. He showed it to her, he proved it to her every single day in how he was, mm-hmm. and what he did, how he kept his word with her, how he treated her like a lady, how he took care of her and provided for her and just did everything for her. And she knew. There was no question in her mind.
So what are some of the good things that have come out of women's lib and sexual revolution? Because, of course, all of that changed a lot of things. Because there are some good and some bad, right? And, like, without going completely like Margaret Atwood's Handmaid's Tale, where literally, like, taking control in such a crazy way, like, what are some things that we can pull out from the past that would balance out? Because I agree. I think it's challenging where men and women, we don't have defined roles anymore, but it's really important for us to honor men as, like, for women to honor men and men to honor women, and doing it in such a wonderful way. And I think it's great that you're creating, have some tools to help them.
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is really understand who men are and who women are. Hmm. And as you said, respect the differences,
honor them,
because we are such different creatures, and I think a lot of that is sadly lacking. I see a lot of men treating women like men. That's devastating. You can't. I mean, men arguing with women. I mean, one of the things that we teach men is, don't ever argue with your woman. Don't ever fight with her. Don't ever engage in a battle. And I don't necessarily mean physical, but mm-hmm. just don't do it. Because the minute you start doing that, you're treating her like a man. That's what men do that with each other. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do that with a woman.
In this day and age, too, with men and women, just a lot of people working from home and with the internet, etc. I think, and Vancouver Foundation just did a whole report about just in Vancouver in particular, just how people are feeling isolated. And this, they describe Vancouver sometimes as a little bit of a cliquey town. So how do you get men together? Because I can think even with my own partner, he doesn't have a lot of really close friends, as an example. And Dean, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
It's getting more and more difficult, I think. Mm-hmm. We've created a society of what I call lone wolves, where men don't trust men. I didn't. When I was 41 and I started on the... I mean, there was maybe one or two men that I really trusted. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of women in my life that were friends, you know. I didn't trust men. And since then, I've now got one woman in my life, and I've got hundreds and hundreds of men in my life. But it's difficult to get men to start trusting each other. One of the ways we do it is through the workshops that we're developing.
I was just going to ask, what is the first step with that?
Well,
besides getting them to come to the workshop, which I don't know if some of the women listening tonight might get their man, hey, you might want to check this out.
Well, they'll be happy if they do. Mm-hmm. A lot of women that I talk to are very thankful for what we're doing because they're searching for good men. And I think they're getting tougher to find men that are real men, that are, you know, that keep their word, that know how to treat a woman, that will listen to the women, that won't argue with them or try and fight with them all the time. I mean, it's sad. It really is. The other reason that I created this workshop, I'll just touch on for a minute. I've got two granddaughters that are, got to stop and think. They got birthdays coming up. They're in bed. So they are 9 and 12. I'm close anyway. But I look around to see what they're going to have to choose from in another 10 years. And it scares me. It absolutely scares me when I see what's going on in the world and see this generation that is lost, is angry, confused. And so that was part of the reason that I decided to help create this workshop, to see if we can't start making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Start turning the clock back on the divorce and seeing if we can't have men and women getting along the way they should be getting along so that the divorce doesn't happen.
So what would that world look like? Let's flash forward, let's say 10 years from now, when your granddaughters are at that stage. If this went into action and people got really excited and wanted to do this work to the point that you're having a franchise, etc., because of the fact it got so big and people wanted this all around the world, what would that look like in Vancouver in particular? What would you like to envision that?
Good question. The first place I went when you started asking that was it would look more like what it looked like when I was a teenager. But in modern times, I mean, I don't want to go back into the dark ages, right? I don't even want to go back to the 50s and 60s. But the way that the young men and the young women were then, the women were a lot more feminine than what I see for most of them today. I mean, little things, and people today are going to think I'm nuts or I'm old-fashioned. Well, maybe I am, but most of the girls had long hair. They wore dresses. They looked like ladies. They looked like women. They were feminine. I cannot remember. This is something I say to people. I cannot remember in school seeing girls fight. Now, I'm sure they did, and they must have had their disagreements. But nothing like what we see today in the news. Nothing like that. That never would have happened. This riot, I mean, thank God that we had, we've heard enough of it, I know, but the Stanley Cup riot, fortunately I was at home. Had I been downtown, I'd probably been one of the guys who got beat up for them for trying to stop it. Back when I was at my father's generation, never would have allowed that to happen. It could not have happened in our society. How the people downtown could have stood by and watched that and allowed it to happen is beyond me. That sort of thing never would have happened when I was a teenager. Wouldn't have. Couldn't have. That's the kind of world that we need today. And the only way we're going to have that happen is by creating honorable men that keep their word, that are what I call masculine, powerful, honorable, have a code of honor that serves society, that serves women, that serves families. We have to start relearning these things, a lot of the younger people.
Mm-hmm. So how do we do that? So let's take it from the workshop, because I know that's a loaded question. So
well, the workshop is the starting place. Mm-hmm. I mean, through the workshops, we can't begin to reach enough men. I mean, our first workshop was 35 men. and those men got a ton. This next one we're planning in September, we're targeting 80. We'd like to be in a place in a year or two where we're producing these regularly with 150 men on average. But again, at that rate, we can't begin to reach the numbers of men that we need to. So we're going to be looking at other ways of getting that out through media, through websites, through possibly DVDs, through books, through material. At some point, there's a lot of stuff that I'd like to see get into our educational system, because nobody's teaching this stuff. Now, that's going to be a huge uphill battle, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, if we had enough of the right people, it may not be, but we got to start teaching our young people, our young men and our young women, who they are and what they are and how they need to behave with each other. And I don't know. It's it's a different thing about it. I mean, it's a huge task.
So what does the workshop look like? Because I know I'm a girl and I'll never get a chance to go unless, I had a sex change, but I honor a lot of transgenders, but I love being a woman, so I'm very happy who I am. But if I was a man, what does that look like? So from the time I walk the door, I've signed up online, I'm like, okay, I paid for this. I show up, I'm absolutely terrified, where it's like, okay, should I just go home and go back to bed? Because I'm not sure if I really want to do this, because I don't trust men, I don't know a lot of men, and this is kind of really scary because it's something I don't know. So going in there, where it's like you come in, and I imagine you sign in, give me an overview, paint me a picture, basically in like 200 words or less.
I'll give it a try. I don't know if I can. I mean, I don't want to give away the plot for any of the men that might be listening out there. The first thing we do is we have an introduction where we give them a pretty clear picture of
what to expect.
Well, where the world's at.
Hmm.
And for some of the younger men, where it's at and where it needs to be.
Okay.
And we sort of take them on a journey. A journey on discovering who they are as a man, discovering what their terms are as a man, what's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
They get a chance to look at and discover what their purpose is.
Okay.
I mean, I was 41 years old and I had no idea really what my purpose was. And
I think they said the same about Trudeau, actually. And I personally liked him a lot. So, well, I never got to meet him, but sometimes it takes a while to discover what your purpose is.
We have, I think, some brilliant tools in there with teaching men how to communicate with their women, how to be with their women. We have something that we deliver to them, and I'm not going to tell you all what it is, but it's something called the Code of Chivalry.
And that's going to be my question, is do you consider chivalry dead, or?
It's hiding. I don't know if it's dead.
Then my second question is, will it be like the phoenix, will it arise?
Not sure. I was going to say, on the Code of Chivalry, a very important part of it, men don't listen to women. We teach men how to do that. I never used to. I think I'm better at it than I know I'm better at it than I was. We teach men how to be honorable. Do we teach them that? I think a lot of the things that they get, they know at some level. Because I know for myself, when I discovered a lot of this stuff, it was like, yeah, I kind of knew that, but I never really had it put in a framework that I could understand it or take it out into the world and use it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not giving anybody anything new.
But perhaps taking bringing them things that they already know, but putting it in a framework where they're able to take those tools and actually apply it to their life. Is that what you do?
Well, absolutely. We give them a lot of tools.
Okay.
That's one of the terms that comes up occasionally.
And how to read the toolkit.
And how to read the toolkit. We also give them a notebook when they come in, because one of the things as we go through the weekend, we encourage them to take notes so that they can take these tools that they get back out into their lives and use them.
Hmm.
We also encourage them to form teams of men. I've been on a men's team now for almost 24 years.
Wow.
What does that mean? I mean, I meet with a group of men, minimum 3 hours a week, and I've done that for 24 years. Been a huge amount of value for that. Because I've got a safe place to go with men that I trust that will tell me the truth. They'll kick my ass when I need it.
Mm.
They'll give me a shoulder to cry on when I need it. They give me what I need. So as a result of me getting what I need from the men in my life, when I come back to my relationship, I'm not a needy little boy like I used to be. I don't think women want needy little boys.
No, we want men to be men.
Exactly.
Sometimes need a little boy when a man's sick. I call it the man cold syndrome, as long as it's not all the time. But there's that part of me that I have to admit, I actually find really endearing, and I like babying. But maybe that's just me.
I mean, at the age of 41, I'll be honest, I was a mama's boy. I mean, I was. I look back, and I think, I don't want to go back there again. And I don't think my wife wants a mama's boy. I really don't.
I'd love to put her on air and ask, but she's shaking her head. We're going to take a really quick short break. And when we come back, I'm going to find out more for everybody about these workshops. It's pretty exciting. We listen to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Anything is possible!
Cinco Cinco Wednesdays at the Cobalt. $5 cover, $5 draft, and $5 highballs. A weekly showcase of up-and-coming bands, artists, and DJs, where the artists get 100% of their ticket sales. For more information, visit thecobalt.ca.
It's not just rich people that own the media.
But by leaving out the most important things you need to know, they can elevate awareness to a new all-time low.
I own my media.
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 The Media Co-op is a grassroots national news network that's owned by its members.
But if it's just left out, can you say the paper lied? A lot of things that happened didn't happen after all. If there's no one in the forest who will put it in the news, I guess the tree didn't fall.
Join us today at mediacoop.ca/join.
I'm joining today. You should too.
I knew I had a problem, but I didn't know what to do about it.
I tried counting calories, I took pills,
eating and eating, and then more eating.
I really wanted to stop, but nothing could make me stop.
At one point, it was so bad that I just felt like giving up.
I felt so alone.
Like nobody else could possibly understand.
We understand. We're Overeaters Anonymous, and we have helped thousands of people just like you. People who want to stop their compulsive eating and start living a healthy, rewarding life.
Overeaters Anonymous, help me get my life back.
Now I eat in a way that's healthy and good for me.
I never realized what I was missing out on.
With OA, I am living again and loving it.
Start living the life you deserve with help from Overeaters Anonymous. Find us on the web at oa.org.
The Queer Arts Festival in Vancouver is the annual showcase that celebrates queer arts and artists. The festival features a curated visual arts exhibit, a community art show, and three dynamic weeks of cutting-edge performances and workshops from all artistic disciplines, including music, dance, theatre, literary, and media art. This year's theme is Random Acts of Queerness. The festival runs July 31st to August 18th. For more info, visit queerartsfestival.com. Sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM.
are a lot of things you're not allowed to grow in your basement in Vancouver. Vegetables are not one of those things.
SPEC and the YWCA are excited to introduce the Urban Farmer Field School. The UFFS provides hands-on training in sustainable agriculture, small farm business planning, and community food action.
Class instructors are experts in urban agriculture, food systems, and plant mind control. The integrated curriculum is divided between classroom theory and practical learning.
For more information, please visit the interweb and search for Farmer Field School at spec.bc.ca.
And we're back in Sexy and Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you are just joining us, and I heard a big thud there, so my guest has got a little impish smile on his face right now. I am talking to Mr. Bob Monroe, and we've been talking about the men's movement. I can't speak today. Oh, my goodness. As I flubber up on air, the men's weekend that is coming up on September 15th. And why don't you tell me, just in terms of, if anybody wants to check the website while we're chatting, we should probably plug it, because especially with a lot of tech and people twittering and et cetera.
Yeah, let's talk about this for a minute. We have a corporate website, which is powerproductionscorp.com.
Okay.
Our corporate name is Power Productions Corp. And the workshop or men's weekend is called Masculine Identity and Power. So Power Productions Corp is the parent company, and that's our corporate website as well. The weekend is September the 15th and 16th. It's a Saturday and Sunday. Two full days. We start about 8 o'clock in the morning, and we'll end mid-evening on both days. I doubt we'll go, there's a chance we could, but I doubt we'll go past 9 o'clock on either evening. The cost of the weekend is $500. And we've just secured a location, which is in White Rock.
Okay.
There's a facility down there. It's a great facility. It's called Blue Frog Studios, Blue Frog Recording Studios. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I haven't, actually.
It's a great facility. I recommend anybody looking for a facility that'll hold 80, 90 people. It's actually a full recording studio, and they've got a large room where they do their recordings, which they can hold concerts in, small concerts, and they can seat 80 to 90 people. Great people that run it, and so that's where it's going to be.
That sounds fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we touched on in the break was what marriage means, because you and your wife have been together for a very long time, which is exciting, like well over 20 years. And I guess because I know you can't talk about, like in regards to the work, like the actual weekend itself, a lot of the pieces, because there's so much, especially over the 2 days. But what are some of the things that you've learned from all the men's work in terms of how that makes a marriage like as happily ever after as we can get? Because in the green room earlier, you're mentioning that you've got your wife, you've got yourself, and together you've got happiness, where it's like that's the other entity into it. And just keeping that balance, how do you...
Well, yeah, I mean, I called it the third entity, the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And... I find that Lucia is far, far better at managing the relationship than I am. And if I'm going to, shall I say, expect her to, or let her manage it, then there's certain ways that I need to be.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you give me an example?
Well, there's a few things. Yeah, one of the critical things is I need to be a good listener.
And you mentioned that in the first half.
And
it's interesting you say that, because Dr. John Gray mentions that in a lot of his work as well, where he actually encourages men to...
I need to keep my word. A lot of men aren't very good at it. I wasn't very good at it. I mean, keep my word on a little stuff. I mean, if I say I'm going to do something, I need to do it. And do I always? No, I don't. But if I'm going to be someone that she can count on and rely on... she needs to know that she needs to know who I am. She needs to know what's important to me. She needs to know that I'm solid. She needs to know that I'm going to do what I'm saying I'm going to do. Simple little thing. I mean, if I go out and she says, what time are you going to be home? You know, there's an easy one. I mean, I could easily say any kind of time at all, but if here's the deal. When I'm going out, if I don't know for sure that I can be home by, say, 4 o'clock, I would rather say to her, well, I don't know for sure, but I can call you later and let you know. But if I do tell her I'm going to be home at 4 o'clock, I better be walking in the door before 4 o'clock. Or call her well in advance to say, listen, something's come up.
Mm-hmm.
Because at 4 o'clock, if there's been no communication and I'm not there, she can't count on me.
Yeah.
And if it's the little things like that, that when they add up and add up and add up...
It starts to fritter away at the trust.
It erodes away at the relationship. It erodes away at who I am. And women need men that they can count on.
It's really cool to have men feel comfortable and feel good about being good men.
Yeah.
What is a good man, like, in your mind, like you said, in terms of someone you can trust, someone that keeps his word?
Well, I think the most important thing to most women is being taken care of. I mean, I say to some people that love to a woman is being taken care of. If a woman is taken care of financially, physically, what's important, especially if there's children, what's important to her, the family, the children?
Emotionally.
To be protected, to be provided for, to be taken care of. It gets around financial things, it gets around all kinds of things. Well, a man that's going to be able to do that is a man that is solid, a man that keeps his word, a man that can't be controlled by anybody,
mm-hmm.
and yet is committed to her. I mean, that's the kind of man that is successful. That's the kind of man that's powerful. That's the kind of man that is going to care for a woman and her children and be there when she needs them, that she can count on, that she can rely on.
For the women out there, what can they do to support their men who are thinking about trying to be better men?
I think what most men want more than anything from their women is to be accepted.
Yeah, I can see that.
In a word, to be accepted.
Hmm.
If we're accepted, we feel powerful, we'll do anything for them. The minute that they start picking away at us, most men's egos are quite fragile. Not all, but most of them. And so when they get... I tell you what, their egos, they get stronger when they have more solid men in their life.
Hmm.
Okay? Part of the reason I think that their egos are so so fragile is because they're alone. Most men.
It's a lone wolf.
Yeah. I mean, I know that I get most of the power in my life from the men in my life. I've got a lot of good men in my life, all over North America. I mean, literally probably hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
That's such an empowering feeling. I never had that 25 years ago.
How's it changed you, like, since you started doing the work? Like, I see it in the relationship, which is beautiful. How has it changed you as a human being on different levels? Like, probably the top three things.
Well, I think it's made me more successful. I mean, I've had my ups and downs in business. I've had a lot of businesses over the years. I've done a lot of things.
But you're an entrepreneur, so
I've done a lot of different things. Some I've been very successful at, some not so successful. But it certainly has served me well in business, absolutely.
Mm.
With my children. With my two children and Lucia's two boys who I've raised, I think it served me there very, very well. And with Lucia, to have a relationship that is, you know, you get up in the morning and you walk into the bathroom and you see a glass of water there with a toothbrush across the top of it with toothpaste on the toothbrush, you know that somebody's thinking of you.
That's pretty cool.
You know?
Yes. Somebody is thinking of you.
Yeah. Somebody said, this is for you, because I mean, it's just great. You feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you recommend to someone who was considered getting married?
Wow.
This is when I wish we had a webcam in here.
To a man that's getting married?
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that you find, if you can, find a half a dozen men, or at least some men that you trust, that know you, and have them interview you to see if you're ready. Because most men on their own don't know.
That's a scary thought.
They don't. I didn't. Twice.
So why would a man get married if they don't know? Is it to try and please the woman as opposed to... I know that's a loaded question as well. Sorry, I'm enjoying this he said, she
said. It's an interesting question. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. A lot of times the sex is good.
Okay. And that can be mistaken for values and love and all that stuff?
Sex isn't love.
No. But sometimes people mistake it.
But a lot of people think it is, and probably more so in our modern day society than they ever have. Who knows for sure? I don't think it was, it's always been important, let's face it, but it wasn't such a big deal as it is now. I mean, we're bombarded by it everywhere. And a lot of people, I think, mistaken that for love. It's got nothing to do with it. It's got very little to do with it. You know, first woman, and a lot of men are lonely, they're lost. The first woman that comes along and says, I love you, they think, oh, this must be it. And they don't stop to think for a minute what it's going to be like 5-10 years down the road when they got kids running around.
That was going to be my next question for men that are in who are embarking on fatherhood, because it does change, it adds another layer to the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts, advice, or anything in terms of how to keep things balanced? Because sometimes a lot of divorces do happen after children.
Well, the ongoing importance, as I said earlier, of having good men in your life, to take, rather than taking your problems to the woman in your life, have good men in your life that you can take them to. Because when I started taking my problems to the men in my life, I found that they got dealt with and resolved very, very quickly. And when I used to take them to women, I found that they tended to not get resolved, and the same things tended to keep coming up over and over and over again.
So if I was a man and I'm a lone wolf, where do I go to, like, would I learn those tools in the workshop in regards to how to recognize what is a good role model for me, a good man to have in my life to help me in terms of building my pack?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what would some of those tools be? Obviously, I know you'd go into way more detail in the workshop about that, but... some of the things to look for. So say you're at a conference or something like that, and you meet a man. How do you know if he's somebody you want to add to your pack?
Well, I think within the workshop, the men coming out the other side, they get all the same tools. So they're all on the same page by the time the weekend's over.
Okay.
So most of the men that are coming out of the workshop would fit that mold. If you're out there just looking around, stumbling around in society looking, it sometimes is a tough order, because a lot of men can't be trusted these days. You know, their values that a lot of the men are running around with out there these days are not the real values that serve society. We talk about being the man that the world needs. There's a lot of men out there that aren't being that.
Yeah.
And so it can be a very tough situation to try and find those right men. You know, it's not easy.
So what do you recommend to the women out there who, there's been several articles about that there's no men in Vancouver to date.
I've heard that before, actually.
There's a really great one, actually. It was in Vancouver Magazine a couple months ago. Any advice to those women other than just hang on, there's going to be some guys coming, but...
Well, September 15th, 16th, send them to us.
Next thing you know, you've got all these women hanging out there.
There,
for an after party.
There are a number of, not a lot, I don't think, but there are a number of men's groups out there that are doing their best to take care of men and to help them. They're scarce, but there are some out there. Check out our website. Send your men to see us. Call me. My phone number. I think my phone number is on the website. I'm sure it is, but there is a number there. I know. I'm easy to reach. Mm-hmm. I have men call me all the time. I've got a bunch of them on the go at any given moment, it seems.
And that was my next question: is as you start to build your pack, how do you keep boundaries in place so then that way that people aren't overstepping? So you're there for people, but at the same time, you're still taking care of this yourself.
Say again, what do you mean?
As you start to build your pack and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, how do you still take care of yourself and establish really firm boundaries with each one so that they don't overstep, especially as somebody is starting to learn to use the tools for themselves?
Well, you say as the pack gets bigger, it's, we call them teams, but I know what you're saying. There's a good size to a men's teams that seems to work well.
Okay.
If they get too big, men can hide out. Men can... If they're not stepping up and opening their mouth, they can not get what they need. So, you know, a good size, typically I found over the years, doing this for many, many years, a good size for a men's team is 7 to 12, somewhere in there, I think, is optimal. I've seen teams that have functioned at 20, but it's a little too big. We often get together, groups of teams, and do stuff together, which is very powerful. But on a regular basis, to meet with a group of men, if you've got 6, 8, 10 men that meet on a regular basis, you get to know each other, you get to sniff out each other's bullshit, you get to know what's going on, and it becomes very, very difficult to hide out.
And you've got a few other good men who are helping you with the workshop as well. You mentioned a couple names earlier, and I don't know if you wanted to just share who they are and why, like, for that. That'd be great with our listeners.
Well, when I decided to put this together and form the company, I looked around North America at men I'd worked with over the years. And Matt Lyons is one man that is one of the facilitators. I don't actually lead the workshop. I'm there. I'm kind of behind the scenes. I help out and make sure everything works well. But Matt Lyons is one of the key people. Matt Lyons and Peter Thompson are number one, number two.
Okay.
Matt's from the Bay Area, lives just outside of Oakland. And... he's been heavily involved in men's work and men's organizations ever since I've known him. He actually, the very first weekend workshop I did, he was on production for it, and that's how I met him.
Okay.
Peter Thompson has been doing this work for about 30 years. He's in Toronto. And like Matt, he's been very involved over the years. Those were the two key men that I brought together to say, this is what we need to create. We laid out the results that we wanted to create for men, and then they started putting together modules that would produce those results. And they had another fellow from Portland, Oregon, called Trent Oldham, who has been key in working with them as well to develop that. Those three men basically deliver the goods. They deliver the workshop. And, I'm just proud to have those men in my life.
It sounds really cool that you've got them as part of your team. I was going to say pack again.
Yeah. It's okay. Pack is fine.
Okay. Ever since you said the lone wolf thing, it's just, I'm kind of just building on that one. So, and I think, too, just with the whole Twilight thing, you've got your Team Jacob for all the werewolves, and you've got your vampires. So, it's a little different. So, yeah. What is one of... Have there been just some really key stories that you've heard about a man that may have started one of the workshops and in the men's work that you've done in the past years where it's just totally just done a 180 on their life or 360 or whatever that expression is?
Well, I know for a fact over the years we've saved a lot of relationships, a lot of marriages. And, you know, my main motivation for doing this is for the children. divorce to me is child abuse. And I've seen so many children, I see them out there in the street as young adults today that are carrying a lot of wounds and scars because of the divorces they went through. And I'll give you an incident. I had a young fella. He was married. He lives here in Vancouver. And his wife cheated on him. They had a little girl. And he was actually away at a workshop when he found this out.
Mm.
And so when he came back from the workshop, he called me, and he was beside himself. But one thing he got really clear on in the workshop was how important it was that his daughter, who he loved more than anything, had the family unit that she deserved. So he talked to me every day, sometimes two or three times a day. He would call me up. And rather than take it to her, I mean, they had a lot of stuff they had to deal with. But he would call me regularly, and I would listen to him, and I would keep him in the game, and I would give him what I felt he needed to stay in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite a few years ago. He still talks to me occasionally. I keep in touch with him. I don't see him on a regular basis, but they're together. They've now got a son. They had a daughter. They've got a son. And they have, I would say, a very good relationship. That is a tough, tough thing for any couple to get through.
Mm-hmm. And infidelity is a big one these days.
It is. It is. And it happens all too frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to men, you need to be the man that your woman would cheat on you for. That's who you need to be, because women aren't stupid. If we're being the man that she needs in her life, most women won't go out and cheat, and vice versa.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a two-way street.
It is.
It's a two-way street.
Both people have to go up and take care of each other.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, if you ever had in the workshops that you can speak about where somebody was abusive towards their wife, and if that was the case, where sometimes it may be better where they need to do a lot of work on themselves and almost separate a little bit, because it was where you were concerned about physical harm for somebody.
Yes, it has come up, and you know, it's certainly totally unacceptable. We can, there's a lot of things that men can get in the workshop to help them deal with that, and yet there are a lot of times men will need additional help.
Mm-hmm.
Professional counseling, but there's a lot of tools that we can give them in the workshop, and a lot of things they'll experience in the workshop that could put an end to that, like literally in a matter of a weekend.
Wow.
There's things that they can discover going through the weekend that could stop that. I've seen it happen, and some men need more help. Coming out of the weekend and being on a good men's team that can help the man take the further
steps.
I mean, we open the door. We give them a lot of tools. The work begins when they come out of the workshop.
Yes, because they need to take that tools out of the toolkit and actually apply them.
Exactly. And that's being on a team afterwards and having those men in their lives ongoing,
mm-hmm.
so that they can use the tools, sharpen the tools, practice the work that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always easy being a man out there today. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of discipline. And we're a lot more capable of doing it if we've got good, strong men in our lives, which most men don't have. I mean, I keep going back to that, but to have solid men in our lives that have our back, that you mentioned Dwayne Klassen earlier, and that's one of his things, is we've got your back.
And
most men don't have anybody that's got their back.
No, and they haven't had a lot. I know I've had Dr. Allison Jones on the show, which she's with Dr. Allison Jones and Associates. She's a child and family psychologist. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she's brought up in regards to, it was one of the things she had mentioned in regards to not having a lot of strong men, about the change in terms of family structure. And she mentioned after, and she went into it as generations, and I'm just trying to remember which generation did what, but the one that raised right after the boomers,
mm-hmm.
A lot of the boomers wanted to be friends with their kids, so there wasn't that discipline in within this family structure as well, which I, as I've been listening, I was wondering in terms of, I can see that contributing to that as well, where parents not giving enough guidance, where it's like, I want to be your friend, and where the kids do need some discipline and some strength as well. We need a happy, happy family balance with all of that.
Well, you just touched on another thing that we don't have terribly time to get into probably, but there's a difference between what I call mothering and fathering. And I see far too many fathers being mothers. It's not about them maybe being home and looking after the children. That's not what I mean. I see men that are mothering. Children don't need two mothers. They need a mother and a father. You see, one of the mother's jobs is to make sure that the children don't get hurt, to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
A father's job is more to see that they don't get hurt too much. Children get bumps and grinds. I mean, things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to be able to get out there and explore. They need to get out there and fall down and pick themselves up and get going again. I mean, just by the mere nature of the word, mothering and fathering, and hopefully it brings up pictures of what that looks like. Well, I hate it when I see fathers acting like mothers.
And then that was going to be my next question in regards to just in Canada, too. We've got same-sex marriage, so sometimes we will have two mothers, two fathers. But in regards to that, say you have two fathers that were taking the workshop, just creating roles within that as well.
Well, a father's job, particularly with his son, is to make life difficult for him. Not to be abusive.
Okay, my eyebrows just went right up.
Well, let me explain.
Well, there's discipline.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. It's a tough world out there. It's getting tougher to be successful, to get along, and to get ahead in the world. So if a father is doing his job properly, he doesn't make it too easy for his son. The more difficult he can make it for his son without being abusive, that's not part of the picture at all. He then raises that son to be a man, to be able to compete, to be able to win, and not coming out in the world thinking, well, the world owes me a living, I got my hand out, somebody better give me something.
Yeah, the entitlement.
The entitlement, exactly. And it's getting tougher and tougher out there in the world to get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we've been coddled and had everything given to us and everything comes easy at home, where on earth are we going to learn how to compete, how to win, how to get the kill? I don't mean go out and kill somebody, but you know what I'm talking about.
No, I do.
You know?
And then we're going back to the wolf. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, thousands of years ago, we actually needed to go out and get the kill.
Yes.
Whether it was in battle or bring home something to eat.
Yes.
Now it's going out to work and getting the kill in business to win that deal, to put that deal together. We don't learn the skills to do that if everything is easy.
Mm-hmm.
So as fathers, particularly with the sons, we need to sharpen them up. And we can't do that if we're babying them and mothering them to death. We just can't.
And
does that make sense?
It does. And also as a father, setting a good role model for the daughter as well. So then that way when they're looking for a partner, like, and I'm going
to
go.
She knows what to look for, absolutely.
Full circle.
Absolutely.
Granddaughters creating that world.
And that's what we do with the daughters. We set the example of what she is going to be looking for when the time is right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Be the example.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Bob. This has been awesome.
Yeah, it's been great.
And if you want to plug your website one more time so people know where they can sign up for your workshop on September 15th.
Yeah, it's simply Power Productions with an S, powerproductionscorp.com.
Perfect.
There's also a link in there under the tab forum that we have a social media site for men as well, that any man's welcome to join the social media site. So
that's perfect. And hopefully they'll check in on there, because I realized I didn't check what the Twitter handle was before the show, which is bad me. But I know that would be very great. And you've got the wonderful Gary Bizzo working with you as well, who's pretty terrific.
Gary and I have been friends for years.
He's a pretty awesome man. Yeah. It's good to surround yourself with good men. I think I might have heard that in this interview. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. And I'm not 100% sure if Hans von Claus is coming in tonight. I know last week he was saying he may not be coming in. So it will be some more tunes in a little bit. I've got the lovely Val here from Folk Oasis, and the two of us are going to figure out what to put on next. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM, CITR. We'll be back next week, as I said earlier. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.